Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Call Kaya Talk.
Kaya Talk on 086-000-959.
Kaya959.
It's been wonderful. No load shedding, but a lot of us are quite worried about what this all means and how long it can stay like this for. Adil Ntshavheleng is my guest this evening, energy expert. He's on the line with us. Adil, thanks so much for your time. We know you are always honest with us. Tell us what's really going on. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you so much. Look, the current situation is quite improving, and really there's been a exerted effort in how Eskom has been managing the crisis in terms of focusing on the fundamentals, which is going back to the power stations. They've been working on a very strong, aggressive, they call it a generation recovery plan, a generation recovery plan. And within the recovery plan on generation is they've been working on fixing and bringing back into operation all the generation assets that are currently sitting stranded. And they've even reduced that huge 16,000 megawatts of unplanned breakdowns, which used to be the biggest problem for Eskom. They've really sort of pushed it down to below 14,000 right now, and they are still recovering more. And if you recall, that the huge 16,000 was sitting because most of the crisis and the challenges around it was based on this minimum emission standard, which was imposed by the Department of Environmental Affairs to say that these power plants should not be operating due to the fact that they are emitting a lot of carbon
emissions.
Emissions into the atmosphere and their sulfur, you know, levels, and et cetera, et cetera. So they've been working very strong to recover all of the generation assets to bring them back into line. And not only that, they've been improving some of the strongest power plants to make sure that they operate properly and are actually being reliable, where they're doing strong philosophy maintenance. And in there, it's yielding some good reliability levels.
So,
you know, I hear people saying that, you know, there's a lot of solar that is happening. I mean, solar doesn't operate at night.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I got the sense people that are speaking are people who are really trying to push a lot of that kind of industry at the moment. That's I saw a lot of engineering companies, solar companies saying, you know, this is working. So I'll pause there for a minute. The Eskom is also saying they've spent less diesel. Is it true? They've spent less diesel than they have this time last year.
Yeah, they have definitely been spending less diesel, which means that they haven't been literally burning diesel to make sure that they keep the power plants just running, you know, in terms of the OCGTs, which is the open cycle gas turbines. What they've been doing is they've been restoring the existing sitting power plants that are coal-based, that are thermal-based in terms of burning the coal and then producing the steam, and then as a result, turning the turbines that would then produce electricity. So what they've done is they've managed to recover most of those plants and are bringing them unit at a time, you know, unit at a time, 250 megawatts of a unit minimum, and then putting them back into operation. So that has paid off a bit because, remember, the biggest crisis within Eskom was it is not an external problem. It's an internal problem. The power plants are not working. And no effort was made during Andre de Ruyter's time to actually fix this power plant. We didn't need to endure a huge, harsh, low stage six levels and cycles over the 5 years. If they just did the basics, keep the power plant operationally efficient, maintained, and supported in terms of maintenance budget. What Marokani should have included is that they have spent more money now on maintenance rather than what they have done in the past. Because in his figures that he disclosed to us, me particularly, he said that 10 billion was spent additional in fixing and prioritizing maintenance, which has not been happening for years and years, where so much of money was put into maintenance facilities to recover the generation plants.
It always comes back to, and Adil, I know that you're here as an energy expert, but for us, it just makes a point. It always comes down to political will. If you have the political system that's willing to support you, of course, you know, that money has been released to support the Minister of Energy's efforts. It makes all the difference because without that money, you've seen what happens to other state entities where, you know, even if they try without any capital thrown into it, it's very, very difficult. So I'm wondering, because we don't know what it would look like after May 29th. I don't know whether after May 29th we'll still have Minister Ramokgopo there. Mm. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that cabinet would look like. And I'm nervous because are things happening because we've got the backing of the Minister of Electricity sitting in the presidency, making sure things happen?
Not really. He's got very little influence on what is going on in ESCOM.
But the money came through because he was there?
Not really. The money comes out of Treasury, and the money comes out of ESCOM's, allocated budget for its own spending. Remember, ESCOM has its own money. They make over about 360 billion a year. Mm. And it's one of the biggest companies in the country. It's actually the largest company in South Africa, if you were to do comparison. It's number one biggest company in the country.
If you liken ESCOM to a Transnet, you'll understand what I'm saying. Where there's a just a snail pace in response to the need that arises. Postnet is one of those as well. Where you have the will, yes, you have Treasury, you have everybody who've put together plans, and yet Treasury doesn't release the money. And that's maybe where I'm coming from.
Yeah. No, in this case, they were fortunate because, remember, they've got an operating account where every time they get payments from municipalities, from customers, it's the money that they keep. They don't necessarily wait for Treasury to release a special fund on its own. What they do is they do special priority planning, where they take that money and shift it directly towards spending for repairs as well as maintenance and engineering. Mm. So they've been doing that well. In the time of Andre Greta, he failed to do that. He was not very interested in power plants. I mean, the guy wanted to turn ESCOM into a renewables, sunshine and wind-based company where they were fully going into the complete electricity generation out of the sun and the wind. Mm-hmm. And he was not investing. He was spending a lot of time with the World Bank, a lot of time with the IMF, consultants overseas, speaking to them about how they can transition ESCOM away from a coal-based company, forgetting that really their bread and butter, what keeps the lights on in South Africa, was not the future plan, was the existing power plant. And that shows, because when you have a lackluster leadership, everything falls apart because you are not focusing on the moment, you're focusing on the future, which might happen in the next 20 years, 30 years, but the immediate now does not require the focus of that future. It requires you to focus on what is working right now. So they had a huge leadership gap, and they focused on wrong things. I mean, why didn't they spend money? Just enough money on keeping the lights on. Mm. One of my reasons is I think they were trying to trigger a sale of ESCOM, whereby they could encourage people to say, listen, we're fed up with this crisis of load shedding. Instead of putting us into this quagmire state, sell off this asset and then get new buyers who can maintain and operate it. That is the logic that we're running under, to say, probably wind up this crisis to a profit level, whereby eventually it will be a sale of all the generation assets. Everybody will get their cake and share it whatever way they want. They have their own power stations to generate electricity. They get all this long-term IPP contract, where they become, sellers of generators of electricity using power plants. And then they turn it around, because once you own it, you can do whatever you want. So you can quickly make sure that it works and produces revenues for you. That was the plan. It failed, unfortunately. They wanted to privatize ESCOM through the back door. And that's why they created the crisis of load shedding. There was no need for load shedding. There's still no need for load shedding.
Well,
no, the crisis was exacerbated for no reason.
Sure. May the good times roll. Thank you so much for that, Adil and Tabalings. Okay, so all of you who've been really skeptical, he says, no, it looks like everything is legit. So we can all breathe a sigh of relief. It does look like we're going to have a good winter.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.